Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I'd not be so angry all the time. I'd listen to them more. I would ask them about their God-given purpose in life. I really do wish I had to do it over again. So now I'm going to try it with my grandsons.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and just a moment, part one of a two-part conversation Jim had recently with Dr. Katie Brazelton. We're going to talk about tips for discovering how your teen is wired. Katie is such an inspiration to so many people because of the fact as a single mom, putting herself through graduate school, earning multiple graduate degrees. And I think about the graduate programs at Azusa Pacific and how many different people are engaged in them. I'm getting ready to hopefully get into my program in 2014. And if you are even in the slightest bit interested in checking out a graduate school program like the School of Theology, which we can highly recommend, go to apu.edu or just check us out online at homeward.com and follow the prompts. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're going to be talking about tips for discovering how your teen is wired. It's going to help greatly. Katie Brazelton is with us. Katie Brazelton is a friend, and she's a teaching professor at Rockbridge Seminary and founder of Life Purpose Coaching Centers International, popular speaker, best-selling author. Most important, she is my good friend Andy Brazelton's mom, and she's a mom also of Stephanie, grandmother, lives in Southern California. Welcome to our show.
Hi, Jim. Glad to be here.
Well, it's great to be with you. And I also understand that you wrote a new book that I'm holding in my hands, How Your Teenager is Wired, Discovering Who God Made Your Teenager to Be. Great title, by the way. But you wrote this in Maui.
Had to go off to Maui to get that done in a year's time because it had a DVD curriculum with it and a devotional book with it. And so, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
You know, people have teased me because I actually wrote my PhD dissertation also in Maui. And people say, you know, are you more inspired? Actually, it was harder for me because it's just such a beautiful island.
Yeah, it was difficult being away from people for that long. But I had, 24 people come visit. So managed to squeeze it all in.
Well, today we're going to talk about tips for discovering how your teen is wired. And again, I just went through your book, How Your Teen is Wired, and I really, really liked it and appreciated it. Question that before we even get started into the content of the book, though, you know, you've raised two children, successful. No teen is perfect. I happen to know your son well and love and appreciate him so much. You know, Stephanie, your daughter is in a marriage and family counseling, you know, program. I guess she's graduated now. She's getting her hours. I mean, these are remarkable people. Would you do anything different?
Oh, absolutely. I'd not be so angry all the time. I'd listen to them more. I would ask them about their God-given purpose in life and all the things in this book, frankly. I really do wish I had to do it over again, got to do it over again. So now I'm going to try it with my grandsons.
Absolutely. And, that's the great thing about being a grandma and a grandpa, is you get to kind of try it out on the grandkids.
Yeah, yeah.
When you say you would, you know, kind of do a do-over, I mean, you've got a story kind of behind this story as I read this. Obviously, you're so involved in helping people find purpose, not just teens, but anyone finding a, you know, purpose in life in a great way. But it kind of comes out of some brokenness in your own life, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. As a young kid, I thought I would be a missionary in Africa, and when I got married instead and that didn't happen, I was very confused. And eventually, my husband had a couple of heart attacks and open-heart surgery and wanted a divorce and blew me out of the water with that kind of confusion. And then he had the audacity to die. And so, as a single mother, I was very unprepared for what I had gotten myself into. And had to seek the Lord and you know, get some principles straight in my own mind toward what my real true purpose was with these kids.
And yet it's hard, you know, when you're in the midst of it, you're talking about being a single parent. We have so many single parents who listen to the Homeward broadcast. You know, I see these as the unsung heroes sometimes. I mean, they're trying to get through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my
mm-hmm.
goodness, you know, when you have younger kids and you're, it's just so exhausting. Mm-hmm. And then the teens come along and you can't play good cop, bad cop because, you know, the other spouse isn't there or whatever.
You know, how do you help them try to find purpose when you're literally trying to help them get through Thursday because, you know, life is, you know, going crazy?
Well, if somebody had just taught me the one principle that I preach now, which is do today what matters today, and God will honor you for that, and you're giving glory to God by being a good mother, a good employee, a good house cleaner, whatever you're doing with your minutes, you know, going to Chuck E. Cheese for a birthday party, God will honor that. He's watching you. It's a boot camp for future things to come. So enjoy it instead of always, is the grass greener someplace else?
You know, a lot of people do that, don't they? They'll say, well, you know, I thought it was going to be easier. I thought the grass should be much greener than it is right now. What you're saying is, no, enjoy it, even if the grass has some brown spots in it.
You are pleasing God by helping kids brush their teeth and learning their alphabet. That's good. It's holy. It is holy work. I always say there are three types of holy work. One, the spiritual holiness, where we grow our character. Two, doing today what we're supposed to be doing and that's on our plate that we've been commissioned and ordained to do today. And then that third one that everybody wants to do is the unique purpose in life. So let's handle the being holy and the helping where help is needed, and God will deliver the broader brushstroke, the kingdom building work that we all want to do.
You know, it's a great, that's actually very comforting to a lot of us. And I was thinking about teens because, you know, some teens know exactly what they want to do. You know, I was not raised in the church and I became a Christian when I was a teenager. And within a month, I knew that I wanted to be doing what I'm doing today. I mean, trying to help kids. I mean, I was totally focused, totally, you know, going in that direction. Most teens aren't that way.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to figure it out. My daughter, Rebecca, who you just met, who works here now at Homeward, you know, she had five majors when she was in college.
Yes, yes.
And,
yes.
You know, and I had a double major because I was, you know, pushing in that direction. I mean, kids are wired differently today.
They are, but you can really trace back. Do they want to do something in a helping profession, like a fireman, policeman, you know, attorney, those kinds of nursing programs and things like that? Or are they more flashy and they want to do something, what I call, my daughter had the triple threat. They want to be an actor, a singer, and a what's the third one? Actor, singer, and dancer.
Yeah.
And or they want to do something for the environment, the more ecological kind of careers they go for now. And if you can just help them see what that really means, you know, what's the underlying goal that they're trying to reach. So, for example, my daughter is now this MFCC intern, and her goal is to be a camp counselor with her credentials, where kids can come and through dance therapy, music therapy, and acting therapy, they figure out what their problems are all about and how to solve them.
So she didn't know that, though, when she was a teen.
But I could see it. I could see it. I could watch her and trace, you know, where she was going with it.
How do you have right motives as a parent on something like that? Because I think sometimes, I was with a couple not too long ago who said, we totally missed it with our daughter. We thought she should go to Stanford and get a business degree. They happen to have gone to Stanford and got business degrees. And she's an artist, and we just thought that was a waste of time. And, you know, she wanted to be a hairdresser, and we said, well, that's a lousy degree compared to what they were doing business-wise. They said, today, she's incredibly fulfilled as a hairdresser, because we had to kind of relinquish our dreams for her to go with her dreams. How do you do that as a mom?
Well,
and dad?
It's in a prayer. It's in a simple prayer of, God, use me up to your greater glory with your will being fulfilled. And I give you my child, my teenager, use him or her up as well in the way you have it designed. And if we hear ourselves say that enough, we begin to believe it, that it isn't about us and what we want. It is about what God wants for us and for our children.
You know, my associate now at Homeward is our good friend Doug Fields, and he came onto our staff in December, and he sometimes gets on the radio. We should have had him here today. But today, when I told him you were coming on to the program, he said, she is one of my heroes. Why did he say that? I didn't ask him. He just texted me.
When he wrote the foreword to this book, so it was very, very kind of him. I think he saw me struggling so hard, but refusing to give up. I think he likes my perseverance, and that just resonates with him as something that matters to God, and eventually it pulls us through. Or, you know what? I have a great faith. a faith that God is in charge and that I'm not, and that He does have a plan for my life and for my children's lives. And maybe he saw that faith because he's a great man of faith himself.
You know, it's funny because I think a lot of times when we talk about somebody being a hero, the heroes have no idea why they're the heroes, but it's that they're present, they're authentic. And also, he's watched your kids grow up. He was your kid's youth pastor and watched your kids grow up. And a lot of times, I think those of us who are in any kind of youth ministry, you know, we can tell a lot about the parents by, you know, seeing the kids. When sometimes the parents can't. I mean, our kids, are, you know, people would say they'd be babysitting. I have three daughters, and they'd be babysitting, and they'd just say, "Your kids are so amazing, and they helped with the dishes. They're so thankful." And we'd, we'd go, "Thanks." And then Kathy and I would turn to each other and say, "Were they talking about our? Was it Heidi who was there today, or somebody else?" Yeah. So it does change, but that is that is interesting. Tips for discovering how your teens are wired is what we're talking about today. And when I come back, I want to ask you, you know, a lot of kids are often do wonder, I mean, why am I here? And I think parents can help us get there. And I know you can with some of the content that you've had in this book. We'll be right back. Katie Brazelton with us today.
And we're talking about a very important topic. If you have teens at home, if you have preteens at home, if you are the grandparent and there are teenagers in your world, we're talking about tips for discovering how your teen is wired. Dr. Katie Brazelton has done some incredible research on just what happens in the teen brain during those teen and preteen years. And if you want to learn more about what Katie's up to, go to homeward.com, and on the radio broadcast listing for today, you'll see actually the daily radio listings for our terrestrial radio, which is these programs are scheduled to air December 28th and December 31st. Podcasters, you're looking at us like, what are you talking about? Because we just get the programs when you put them up there. But the programs are there. And you'll see Katie's name. You go ahead and hit the hot link, and that will take you right to her website. You can learn more about that. Dr. Jim Burns has written an outstanding book called Teenology that you want to take a look at as well. As a matter of fact, you can order that directly from our online resource center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. And since we're coming up on the end of 2012, we would love to get that tax-deductible donation in for your benefit before the end of this year. For more information on how to do that, go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Yes, I told my mom.
You're such a loser.
I am not. My mom and I talk about lots of stuff.
Like what?
I don't know, grades, guys,
you've talked
shopping.
To your mom about guys?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Why not talk to my mom?
I don't know. I can't talk to my mom about anything.
If you're a parent, it's up to you to make sure you maintain an open environment for your kids so that they feel that you're a safe place to talk about their problems and ask questions. When you devote special time and attention to each of your children and make them feel loved and cared for as individuals, they'll be more likely to open up to you. And kids who feel loved by their parents are much more likely to feel good about themselves. Communication is one of the foundational principles I write about in my book called 10 Building Blocks of a Happy Family. And for a free copy of my tip sheet called Communication, Tips for Building Responsible Teenagers, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns, talking with Katie Brazelton today. We're talking about tips for discovering how your teen is wired. And she's written a great book called How Your Teenager is Wired, Discovering Who God Made Your Teenager to Be. That is a desire of most every parent. And, you know, parenting a teen is not easy. I recently heard it said that it's part joy, part guerrilla warfare. And I think that makes a bit of a sense,
that's
doesn't it?
True.
You have two, I have three. And that's sure what I can say. My kids are in their 20s now, but it's still, you know, those memories are there. It just was not easy and yet a pleasure as well. I mean, it's kind of both.
Yeah.
Lots of kids, Katie, are thinking, why am I here? I mean, sometimes when they're teens, as parents, we don't think they're thinking that question because they're just trying to get, you know, the most out of whatever their day is or who their friends are with, you know, being on their, you know, Facebook or whatever. But in reality, deeper and deep-rooted, there is that question, you know, why am I here? And you offer parents, in some ways, an answer to that.
Yes. Kids want to know what on earth they're here for. And it's a deep yearning in our heart. It's a hunger of our soul to know the divine urge that we have. How did it get there? What is all this about? And so there are steps you can take to uncover it. Now, theologically, speaking, though, if I was very correct in my theology, it would be there are steps we can take to invite God to reveal it. We don't go designing it and discovering it and fulfilling it on our own, but we can invite him to tell us what's next for us.
As a parent, when you're with a child who maybe is like one of the boys that you even mentioned in your book, you know, who kind of, you know, they use one word answers or they kind of grunt to their parents. How do you help that kind of a kid find something as important as, you know, discovering who they are, what they were meant to be on this earth for, when really it's so hard to be even communicating about, you know, how was, mm-hmm. you know, football practice?
Yeah, yeah. Doug Fields is my hero on that one. I sat and listened to him preach a sermon about take your kids for date nights and go alone. Don't go with other siblings. Don't bring another, you know, spouse with you to make it seem like some intervention. And once their guard is down, once you've fed them their favorite ice cream or pizza or whatever you allow your kids to eat, then you casually just happen to mention, so how's it going with so-and-so? What's on deck? You know, who's on deck? Who's up to something these days? And eventually I found that instead of getting the, I don't know, or nothing and that kind of answer, I got real answers about things that were going on in their lives. And then it's an easy segue into, so tell me, if you had 3 wishes in your life, what would you wish for? And you can check motives and, you know, begin to do all sorts of searching at that point, but you've got to get in first.
You have something that you call 3 elephants in the room when it's, you know, you're kind of talking about that. What are a couple of those elephants?
Well, can my teenager actually know what his purpose in life is? And the answer to that is yes. Jeremiah tells us that God says, in fact, I have the verse right here, Jeremiah 1:7. The Lord replied to Jeremiah, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And we believe Jeremiah was between 14 and maybe 19, 20 years old when, you know, when God spoke to him in that way. So definitely one of the elephants that we need to uncover is, yes, you can help your child discover why they were born.
So another elephant in the room was that your child actually tries to do this, but they just simply can't figure it out.
And they get frustrated.
Yeah.
And so you help them understand that there are seasons in life for discerning things and seasons in life for practicing. And so what if we're in a practice session? It doesn't matter that we have clarity. It matters that we are moving forward. And so let's see if I can come up with an example here. My niece-in-law, Ginny, wanted to know what her purpose in life was. We sat down within 10 minutes. Not only was she in tears, but she's a pharmacist today, okay? But she was telling me the whole intellectual side of what was going on with her. And then all of a sudden I said, but what do you like to do? What's your passionate ache in your heart? What would you miss if it were missing from your life? Just some casual questions like that. And she said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you asked me that. Nobody ever asks me about my heart. She said, I like going to visit cancer patients and I dress as a clown. And she's a tall, beautiful young lady that, you know, is somewhat sophisticated. And to hear her come out with that just was really wonderful for me to hear that God designs us. We just need to sit long enough and listen to one another. Mm. And the answers will come out. So for a teenager that just can't get it, it could be that they're hung up in fear. That's one of the things I coach the parents along to check on, that they're afraid of success or afraid of failure, afraid of being sent to Africa as a missionary. It may be that they're living in sin right now, you know, and I don't want to pounce heavily on that one, but there is always that possibility that God is saying, wait, you're not ready yet. I mean, my pride for years, my control issues for years kept God from, you know, delivering any information to me. But it also may be, Jim, that the people he's sending the teenager to serve, they're not ready yet for that teenager. It just wouldn't be appropriate. They would, you know, put up arms and fight, and it just wouldn't happen the way God needs it to gracefully happen.
You know, I appreciate you mentioning those. And actually, the sin factor is interesting because a lot of kids, you know, the word sin just simply means to miss the mark. You know, we're going for perfection. We missed it. And so we're all sinners, of course. And, you know, a lot of kids go through what we call the experimental phase. I mean, so this is a time when they're going to experiment with drugs. They may experiment with sex. They may experiment with all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And yet it's also such a major part of determining who they're going to be. Mm-hmm. So I obviously have concern about what's going on in the culture because it's so much is being thrown at them. As a parent who might be listening, what advice would you give to the parent whose kid is saying, I'm wanting one day to really find my purpose, but right now I'm having fun
not
and
today.
I'm kind of going this
yeah.
way. What
yeah.
do you say to that
not
parent?
Today. Just that God is our reason for breathing, and that if for just 5 minutes a day, oh no, 2 minutes a day is what I suggest in the book, actually, that you could encourage them to focus on what God might want long term. It does this shift. It's this sand that just, you know, moves them into a new reality. If they take 2 minutes away from gossiping or 2 minutes away from Facebook or internet games or whatever, to know that they're praying for God to have His way in their life, it's a miracle the day that they get a glimpse of it and they say to their mom, what if God wants me to be, well, let's use an easy one for both of us, a radio host, and yet I'm so messed up it isn't even funny. And all mom has to say is, God's going to love you through your messed up days, and let's dream about the day you get to be a radio host. How can I help you? How can I support that vision? How can we investigate and maybe surround it with some prayer partners? You just need an inkling of to inch your way in, you know, to start the conversation, even when they're in their toughest moments.
You know, a lot of times I think parents do give up at that point. I mean, they're so focused on the negative that's going on or the bad attitude or whatever, when in fact they do need to rise above sometimes and say, you know what, I still believe in you. Jesus did this. Jesus looked at a man named Simon and said, your name is no longer Simon, it's Peter or Petros, and he became the rock. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a rock. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a mumbly bumbly fisherman who kept saying the wrong thing, but Jesus believed him to become that rock.
Yeah.
And I think with teens, we've got to be able to believe in them at a time when they may not be believing in themselves, just like Jesus did.
Yeah. Well, Mary Magdalene, and don't tell me Noah was always perfect. We know he wasn't, frankly, from some of the stories written about him.
Sure.
Or maybe John the Baptist. I'll give you John the Baptist. Perhaps came out of the womb just, you know, sailing. But a lot of characters in the Bible, you know?
Well, it's important for us to know to remember that those characters in the Bible through you know, God's grace became amazing leaders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was just reading in Hebrews chapter 11, where it was talking about the great cloud of witnesses. And I was actually thinking about in Hebrews 12, you mentioned it, perseverance, and it's really a message of perseverance.
Yeah.
But it said, therefore, because this great cloud of witnesses, well, those witnesses, there were liars, there were cheaters, there were adulterers. I mean, it was amazing what all these people had done, but they became the mothers and the fathers of our faith. Sometimes as parents of teens, it's important for us to say, no, God does have a plan for you. Right now, this isn't easy. It's not easy for you. It's not easy for me. But God does have a plan for us.
And we can say, do you really want God to hit you upside the head like he did Saul?
Yeah.
You know, because he can. How much do you want to cooperate? How important is it for you to snoop around and see if maybe what I'm saying has some validity, you know, in it, rather than waiting to be blinded? Let's enjoy the journey toward God, even though there's some detours here.
Yeah. Well, that's a great reminder, especially for parents of teens, parents of preteens, where there are going to be detours. I mean, very few parents don't have those detours. Katie Brazelton, How Your Teen is Wired is the book. That's what we've been talking about. You've got to come back next time so we can keep talking about this.
Oh, I'd love to.
How Your Teen is Wired. You know, you may be a person who is struggling with a teenager or with a preteen. Maybe you've got what I've got now. I've got these emerging adults who are in their 20s, and many times they still act like teenagers. But I want you to know that God does have a purpose for them, and part of your job is helping them find out what this amazing purpose is. And I think this book is going to help you, How Your Teenager is Wired. Roger's going to tell you more about it right now.
Well, it's very easy to get information on that book. First of all, you can Google it. You can go to any major bookstore online or in the brick and mortar world and find out the information. Dr. Katie Brazelton, Brazelton. That's how you're going to look up that name. We've also got a link to it on our website today as well at homeward.com, so check that out. Also, Dr. Jim Burns' book, Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers, is an outstanding resource. It really is Jim's life work in terms of putting 35 years of his heart and soul into youth ministry and family ministry. It took a couple years to put this book together, and it's been out for a little while now, but it's still very, very timely and topical. Go to homeward.com. You can learn more about that book. And if you'd like to order a copy directly from our online resource center, a portion of the proceeds goes to support this ministry. Homeward is a completely listener-supported ministry. Your tax-deductible donations are what keep us on the air. You can call us at 800-397-9725 with a donation as well if you'd like to make a year-end contribution over the phone. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.